This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord, Sustainer, Creator of the heavens and the earth, Most Merciful, Most Kind. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on us in this waqt of Jumu'ah, to bless us in this waqt of Jumu'ah, to let this hour of Jumu'ah be a kafara, an expiation for the sins we've done last week and the sins for the week to come. May Allah guide us and let this be a nur for us. There's an hour in this day of Jumu'ah that du'as, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, is not rejected. A specific hour in the waqt of Jumu'ah. So we make dua that Ya Allah bless us, our families and the ummah at large. Let us have khair and barakah in this dunya and in the akhirah. Ameen. And we send our love, our salutations, our greetings to our beloved Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to his Ahlul Bayt, his family, his companions and all of his ummah until the end of time. May we be of that ummah Ya Allah in this dunya and in the akhirah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, as I always mention, here at Burhanul Islam, it's as if though we have two jama'as. We have the working jama'ah, and when it's holiday, we have the resident jama'ah, the people in the local area. And before the holidays, before the festivities started, we were doing a series on Shi'ism, discussing and understanding the origins of Shi'ism, understanding the beliefs, understanding where we can coexist, and understanding the differences and how we respond with those differences between Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the Shia. And we took a 4-week break, I believe it was 4 weeks, because, as I said, many of us had left, many of us had been on holiday, and if you're coming back from holiday, may you have a prosperous year ahead. And for those who wrote matric, may Allah bless you and put barakah in your future to make the right decisions and the choices in your life. And if things didn't go so well, alhamdulillah, we don't wait and we don't stop there. There's always a chance, there's always a second chance. Don't let this stop you or hold you back. But alhamdulillah, we're back with our series on Shi'ism, part 5. And we ended off on a cliffhanger. We ended off with the Mahdi. The Mahdi. So just to remind ourselves, if you are new here, or this is the first lecture, and you might have feelings, and this is the feelings that we find, why do we discuss Sunni Shia? Why do we even get involved in this discussion? Are we not just further isolating and breaking the Ummah up into sects when we are facing, you know, challenges externally? Throughout the world, the Muslims are being oppressed from east to west. We need to unite rather than divide. Why do we mention such a thing? Number one, that this topic is not to further divide us. It's not further to blame or to criticize or to spread hatred between this group or that group. But these divides exist. Whether we like it or not, whether we close our eyes from the fact, these divide, these differences, they exist. That Muslims have different beliefs. And some beliefs, some differences, alhamdulillah, are good. Like our 4 madhahib. We don't want one madhab. We like that we have 4 madhahib. That Allah has made it easy for us. Certain issues, unfortunately, we cannot agree. There is disagreement on fundamental issues where we cannot simply say, Alhamdulillah, this is right and that is right. No. We need to understand these differences. We need to now to respond to these differences. And unfortunately, we have to take a stance. I'm on this side of the fence or I'm on that side of the fence. How do we interact after that? Alhamdulillah, we talk about coexistence after that. But just to remind ourselves that these differences are not here recently. They didn't start 50 years ago or 100 years ago. They were there for over 1,000 years. And these lecture series are not meant to change or to fix those differences. It is just meant for you and me to be educated as to what do I believe. What do I believe as a Muslim? What do I believe as a certain view? And what's my take on these issues? Because today we can't hide from the facts. We hear these terms on CNN, BBC, Shia Sunni. Non-Muslims even know that there's a Sunni Muslim and there's a Shia Muslim. Even non-Muslims know that. What are the differences? Your kids come to you and say, Daddy, Mommy, what's the difference between Sunni Shia? Can I marry a Shia? Can I marry a Sunni? What do you say? We need to be educated in the times that we live in. We can't avoid the fitna because the fitna, they're in our homes, on our TVs, on our telephones, in our bedrooms. So this is basic knowledge that we've come to learn. This is basic Muslim education that we need to learn. And as we said, Alhamdulillah, in our context of South Africa, for 300 years until today, 90-odd% of the community, more than 95% of the Muslims here in South Africa are Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And the Muslim Ummah at large, over 80% is Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So this is the majority view. That this is the majority view. And this has been the view from the beginning of Islam. And that here in South Africa, Shiism is a relatively new phenomenon, and the Shia are open and they don't make an excuse for it, that they spread their views. They say, we believe a certain view, we accept it to be correct, and we teach it if you want to learn it. We don't force it down anybody's throat. Similarly, we do the same. We say Shias have a view and we have a view on certain things. We agree on many, many things. On the fundamental things we agree, but there are certain fundamental differences where we disagree. And we should learn as Muslims now how to discuss differences, even if they're fundamental, with understanding, with tolerance, without compromising, but at the same time, without being violent. Today, a big problem with the Ummah is if you disagree with me on a certain issue, a certain mas'ala, then I blow you up. This is the answer. We don't fight, we don't debate intellectually anymore. We use our fists because we can't debate intellectually. This is one of the problems of our age today. So we take this with wisdom, with an intellectual stance, and we ask Allah to guide us to the haqq. There's only one haqq, there's only one truth, and that truth is with Allah. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Ya Allah, guide our hearts. You are the one that shows us the straight path. You guide us to that straight path, and if we make mistakes, Ya Allah, let us have the courage, let us have the honesty to say, I am wrong. I have made a mistake, Ya Allah. And that we don't have that arrogance like Iblis that maintains on incorrect beliefs. So inshallah, we continue. We said that the Shia, not to go too much into recapping, that's a problem that I do, I'm not going to summarize too much, but we said Shiism began as a political party. They were a political group that fought against the Umayyad dynasty. The Umayyad dynasty, and this goes back again in the history after the Khulafa al-Rashidin, the Umayyads became like a kingship. For good or for bad, there were good kings, there were bad kings. But there was a political party that broke off, and their trump card, their claim was that we're against the government. Why? Because the Khalifa must be divinely elected by Allah. This is something they claimed. And they said, we have evidence that the Khalifa is someone that must be of the lineage of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and anybody else who's a Khalifa other than the family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has made an act of kufr, including Abu Bakr and Umar and everybody who became Khalifa that wasn't of the family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sayyidina Bakr wasn't family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not Ahlul Bayt. So everybody who took political leadership of the Ummah and he's not Ahlul Bayt, he has committed an act of kufr. This was a political view. They were a political group. And this was a minority group, and this was a group that never succeeded politically. They didn't succeed. The Umayyads, they succeeded. And they broke off, obviously, as we said, the fitna in the time of Sayyidina Ali. And this group became further and further estranged. They became further and further ostracized. And yes, we even say that the Sunni political leaders even oppressed them and went beyond the ways of which to... They oppressed and harmed them to the point where many of the Shia's political party had to go into hiding and a new ideology formed. That this political party became a religious party where they said, we have beliefs different to other Muslims. And it evolved. And Before we took the break, we listed about 9 beliefs of the Shia. We listed 9 beliefs of the Shia, which we said are fundamental to the Shia. These are important beliefs to a Shi'i. If you speak to a Shi'i and you ask him, what are your fundamental beliefs? You will mention some of these things. These are important to me. And they differ to our beliefs. For example, we said the issue of the Khalifa, and it began as a political fight for who should be the Khalifa. They obviously say the belief of the Shi'a is that the Ithna Ashari Shi'a, the 12 Shi'as, the majority Shi'a, they believe that there are 12, and there's a hadith to this effect, that there are 12 divinely appointed caliphs, khalifas, who will come and rule the Muslim ummah, and when the last one comes, it will be close to the end of time. So they believe that 12 imams from the family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they have to be the khalifa. No one else is allowed to be khalifa. Therefore, as we said, the fundamental split was they believe that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wa yadu billah stole the right of Sayyidina Ali of being khalifa. And we said we cannot agree to disagree on this issue. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, we spoke long about the sahaba. Not only are you insulting Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, all the sahaba that stood behind him in salah and took his bay'ah, which was 99.999% of the sahaba. In fact, 100% was even those who had some criticism. Afterwards, they gave their place to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. You question the iman. And when you question the iman of sahaba, you question the iman of those who carried the Quran, who compiled the Quran, who compiled the Sunnah. Therefore, you break Islam down at its most fundamental basis. So we spoke about how the fight between the caliphate occurred. We spoke about the view of the Shia with regards to Sahaba. Very clear what they see or what they view the Sahaba, something which we cannot accept. Then we said, the Shia have this belief called Imamat. And that is why today, if you ask the Shia of Iran, what do you call yourselves? What's your name? They will say, we are Ithna Ashariya Imamiya Shia. We are 12 Imami Shias. 12 Imamis. What does that mean? We believe in 12 Imams. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, we have like how many Imams? In every masjid we have an Imam. Not only 12. They said, no. What you mean by Imam is different to what I mean Imam. For us, Imam is someone that leads the Salah, or is a great Alim like Imam Shafi'i. They said, no, our belief of an Imam is that Allah has divinely appointed this man to be pure and perfect, infallible. He doesn't commit any sin. In fact, he doesn't even forget. In fact, he knows the unseen, that his death, he controls his death. And even further and further exaggeration to the point where, in fact, and we spoke about this in the last lecture, Ayatollah Khomeini, in his book, he wrote that our imams to us, our 12 imams, they hold a position that even the anbiya and the angels don't hold. This is in his book, right? So this is their belief. This is what they believe, right? So their concept of an imam being a direct link between Allah and us is something which we don't agree with. That the imam cannot be disobeyed. That the imam is a shari', meaning he can make and decree laws. Today the MJC, Imam Shafi, they cannot decree laws. They cannot say this is halal or haram. If he says it's haram to do this, yes Sheikh, bring your adilla. What's your proof? It's qal Allah. Allah said, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, not from your hawa. No one has the right to make halal or haram except Allah or Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam through the sunnah. Here they believe that the Imam has the right to interpret the Quran as he pleases. And that's why when we talk about the different sects of Shiism, we found imams within Shiism, not the 12ers, but imams within Shiism that abolished even certain salah. Certain groups of Shia, they only make 3 salah. How do you do so, ya Shia? Said, no, our imam said these 2 are no longer, they are null and void. Because the imam said so. He's the link between us and Allah. This is their view and their belief. We spoke about taqiyya. We spoke about their stance with regards to the Quran. And as I said, I repeat again, the Shia of today, they don't claim to have a Quran different to us. And to say that is to lie on them. But we said, their old and great scholars, many of their greatest scholars, and in fact their Sahih Bukhari, Al-Kafi, which is their Bukhari, has a chapter on where the Quran has been fabricated. So we say, oh Shia, either you distance yourself from these scholars, and you say these scholars have spoken lies, or you say they spoke the truth, and then we have a problem. You can't have it both ways. We spoke with regards to the Sunnah. Of course, they don't accept the hadith of the Sahaba by and large. And therefore, we have fundamental differences. We got to the Mahdi. This is where we stopped. And And the Shia, as I said, the Imamiyya, they believe in 12 Imams, 12 divinely selected Imams who are appointed by Allah to govern the world, to rule the Muslim Ummah. And the 12th one, the last of the 12, when he comes, he will be called Imam Al-Mahdi, the rightly guided Imam. And he will be a sign of the end of times. When he comes, Qiyamah will basically follow him very soon. This is the Shia belief. And we will talk next week about specific beliefs with regards to the Mahdi. This is a very important character within Shiism. We as Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah, we also believe with regards to Imam Mahdi, but it's not a fundamental belief to us. You won't be asked in the Qabr, what do you say about Imam Mahdi? But the Shia believe that the Imam Mahdi is alive. He came 1,000 years ago, 1,200 years ago, and he disappeared, and he's alive, and he continues to see to the affairs of the dunya in absentia. This is the belief of Shiism. We'll discuss it next week. More importantly than that, my question is, what are our beliefs with regards to Imam Mahdi? What does Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah say about the Mahdi? Do we believe he exists? Is he mentioned in the Quran? Is he a fabrication? Is it exaggeration? Is it just a figment of imagination? We uncover, inshallah, today the truth about the Mahdi in terms of the Quran and the Sunnah. So inshallah, let us begin with this. We are coming closer to the end of times. Without a doubt, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I and Qiyamah were sent like this. Meaning, I am one of the last major signs of Qiyamah. That in fact, Qiyamah would have come before me. So closely are we with one another. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was one of the last major signs of the coming of Qiyamah in mankind, in the history of mankind. And therefore, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave many indications and signs to look out for the coming of Qiyamah. We're not discussing the signs of Qiyamah, but suffice to say, signs of Qiyamah are divided into major signs, and there are 10 major signs, and there are many, many minor signs, up to maybe 300 minor signs. And scary, if you look at the minor signs, vast majority of those minor signs have come true. Vast majority. For example, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in this very well-known hadith, the hadith of Jibreel, when Jibreel asks Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell me one of the signs of Qiyamah, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, neither I nor you know when is Qiyamah. We both don't know when is Qiyamah. Point in note here. Anyone who claims to know when Qiyamah is lies. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, I and Jibreel don't know when Qiyamah is. Belongs to Allah alone. But of the signs of Qiyamah is when the Khufatun Uratun, when the Arab Bedouins start competing with one another in building tall buildings. One of the signs of Qiyamah. Tallest building in the world is where? In Dubai. And there's competition between Saudi Arabia in building tall buildings. Another sign of Qiyamah, when there will be widespread literacy. Most people will read and write, but knowledge of the deen will be gone. Sahaba had the opposite. Very few could read and write, but many of them were ulama in knowledge. And as we said, you would find strange weather phenomena, earthquakes and floods and storms, very hot, very cold. You would find the Muslim Ummah spread throughout the world, huge in numbers, billions, but they will have no power. The worlds will dominate them. They will have no leader. They'll be divided. These are all the backdrop to when Qiyamah will occur. May Allah protect us. That ulama of caliber will pass away and they will not be replaced. Knowledge will be lost. Subhanallah. So many of these things are clear from the minor signs that they occur. And then after that, the major signs of Qiyamah, which are 10, will occur. Imam Mahdi is one of the signs of Qiyamah. When we see Imam Mahdi, when he appears, it is an indication Qiyamah is close. Is he of the major or minor signs of Qiyamah? He's of the minor signs of Qiyamah. In fact, he's probably the last minor sign that will occur. When he occurs in his lifetime, the major signs of Qiyamah will occur. So what does it mean? Who is Imam Mahdi? It's a title, right? Mahdi, anyone here called Mahdi, it's a title, right? A title means guided. Al-Khulafa Rashidin Al-Mahdiyin, the rightly guided caliphs. And there were many Mahdis, many, as I could say, Mahdiyin, guided caliphs. Abu Bakr was a Mahdi, a guided Khalifa. But he will be the guided Khalifa. It's a title that he is the Imam that will bring guidance back to the Ummah. He will be guided by Allah and he will guide others as well. What do we know about him? Certain things we know. His name is not Mahdi, number one. His name, as Nabi says, even if only one day was left of this world, if the dunya had one day left, Allah would make that day long so that he, Allah, could send a man who is of my family, whose name is as my name, and his father's name is as my father's name. So here we see three things. Number one, this man that will come will be of the lineage of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He will be part of Ahlul Bayt, of the family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Number two, his name will be the name of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, meaning his name will be Muhammad. And his name will, his father's name will be Abdullah, as Nabi Sallam's father's name was Abdullah. So his name will be Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Ahlul Bayt, family of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And as we said, yeah, it goes without saying that if your name is something else, Sulaiman ibn Ahmad, and you go to a home affairs and you change it, I want to be Muhammad ibn Abdullah, this doesn't count, right? This does not count to change your name and say, oh, on Facebook my name is something else, but you know, ID is something else, I've changed my name. No, this is just one of the indications of the Mahdi. Of the Ahlul Bayt, where would he come from? And this is a difference between us and the Shia. Not a major difference, but it is a difference. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, of course, said to the Ummah that beautiful statement to the Sahaba when his grandson Hassan was entering the Masjid. He picked up his grandson and he said, oh my Sahaba, this boy of mine, the son of mine, is a Sayyid, a leader amongst you. Why? Because he'll bring unity to the Ummah after two great parties of them would be fighting. And he said, from this boy of mine, from the son, a man will come. He will resemble me in conduct, but not in appearance. And he will fill the earth with justice. A ruler will come from this boy, from Hassan. The Shia believe, of course, the Mahdi comes from the lineage of Hussein. As you look at the lineage of the 12 Imams, Hussein, his son, becomes the next Imam, and so on and so forth, until the 12th Imam. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we believe that it will be from the lineage of Hassan radiallahu anh, who would be Imam Mahdi. Again, doesn't matter whether from Hassan and Hussein, wherever the lineage comes from, if it's Ahlul Bayt, alhamdulillah, this is an added emphasis, but also just having blood in your veins from Abu Bakr, from Sayyidina Umar, from Nabi Isa, doesn't mean anything. Subhanallah. Ahlul Bayt has a certain place without a doubt, but you will not enter Jannah through your lineage. And similarly, you will not enter Jahannam through your lineage. If your grandfather was Fir'aun, doesn't mean anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows in the Quran that the wife of Fir'aun was entered into Jannah, and the wife of Nuh and Lut, they entered Jahannam, wa yadu billah. The son of Nabi Nuh entered Jahannam, the father of Nabi Ibrahim entered Jahannam. So subhanallah, lineage is not something that will get you anywhere in Qiyamah, but the Ahlul Bayt have a certain position and manzila. So he'll be of the Ahlul Bayt. His lineage will be from Hassan through Fatima and Ali radiallahu anhu. And he will be an ordinary man. We believe that he will be born a normal man. He will not live for thousands of years, and he will not be able to fly or have superhuman powers, but rather he'll be an ordinary man. We said that if even Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could not control the weather, and he could not fly, and he could not resurrect the dead, then how would it be if the Sahaba, who are even greater than later generations, couldn't do this, that someone many hundreds or thousands of years later could do this? A wali of the awliya cannot have a ability greater than that of Sahaba. Impossible. Whose taqwa? The karama comes from taqwa. Your taqwa cannot be higher than that of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Therefore, this is exaggeration. What more do we know about this man? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the Mahdi is of me. And this is the resemblance, and the way Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says doesn't give much detail. He has a prominent forehead and a prominent nose. He will fill the world with fairness and justice as it was filled with injustice for 7 years. So we know the Mahdi will come at a time when the Muslim Ummah will be in turmoil, when they will be filled with injustice and corruption. This is the backdrop of Imam Mahdi. He will come at a time when the Ummah is going through difficulty, and he will assume leadership of the Ummah, and for 7 years, he will bring justice to the Ummah. The world will be in disunity. The Muslim Ummah in particular will not have a Khalifa. And we said, inshallah, 2018 will be an anniversary of 100 years where this Ummah didn't have a Khalifa. Never in our history did we not have a Khalifa. Yes, we had good Khalifas, bad Khalifas, puppet Khalifas, but at least we had someone which we said, that is the Khalifa. For 100 years almost now, we've not had a Khalifa. This is something unique to the history of Islam. Never had a situation like this. He will come at a time when the Ummah doesn't have a Khalifa. Our time. He will come in a time similar to our time. There will be disunity within the Ummah. There will be fighting amongst the Muslims. And they will be attacked externally from non-Muslims. And he will be a reviver of Islam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't specify which day or year or generation he would come. He just gave an indication of the basic environment that would occur. And many false predictions have been put forward. As we said, you'd find many, many sects. Their founders would claim to be the Mahdi. They'll be very charismatic. They maybe even have some knowledge, and they will say, "I'm the Mahdi." And people follow them blindly, and they put forward false predictions. If Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say, "This year is when the Mahdi is going to come," any website that says so, you see that they close that website immediately, block it. Don't ever go to that website again. Can't be on haqq. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not given this knowledge. No alim would ever have this knowledge. What else can we say about the appearance of the Mahdi? So when will he appear? How would it be? Two hadith, and they're a bit complicated, but we'll break them down. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, they will fight before your treasures, three will kill one another. Meaning, three people will fight over the Muslim Ummah for leadership. There'll be three countries, three governments, three sons of kings, three khalifas. There'll be different internal fighting to rule the Muslim Ummah politically. All of them being sons of different caliphs, but none of them will receive it. Then the black flags will appear from the east. And this group that raises the black flags, they will kill you. They will fight the Muslims even in a way that has never been done before. So if you see, now it moves over. If you see this black flags, then give your allegiance to them. Even if you have to crawl over ice, because surely he is the caliph of Allah, the Mahdi, the leader of this army with the black flags. And if you see the black flags coming from Khurasan, and Khurasan today is in Afghanistan, join that army, even if you have to crawl over ice, for this is the army of the caliph. And this army will not stop, and they will not be defeated until they reach Jerusalem. Very important point here. Jerusalem, in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was not under Islamic rule. When he passed away, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Jerusalem belonged to the Romans. But he said, of the signs of Qiyamah is you will conquer Jerusalem. This happened, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Then you will lose it again. And Imam Mahdi will conquer it once again. Right, another hadith. Disagreement will occur upon the death of a caliph and a man of the people of Medina. He will flee from Makkah. He will flee from Medina to Makkah. And some of the people of Makkah will force him out and bring him out against his will and make him accept the bay'ah. They will choose him as the leader between the Rukn, the black stone, and the Maqam of Ibrahim. And then an army from the people of Syria will be sent against him. And as they approach to stop him, in a place between Makkah and Medina called Bayda, this army will be swallowed up. And when the people see this, the awliya of Syria and the awliya of Iraq will come to him and they will accept his bay'ah. So let's put these two hadith together. Let's break down these two hadith. What Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, the Ummah will be in a state of disunity. There will be extreme fighting for power and leadership. And in particular, this fighting will occur in Syria and in Iraq. There's a hadith that says, subhanAllah, of the signs of Qiyamah, first the people of Iraq will go through difficulty, they'll be deprived their dirhams, and then the people of Syria will be deprived, and then Qiyamah will come soon after that. So there'll be fighting and turmoil between the Ummah in Iraq and in Syria. And this has occurred many times before. It's not only unique to our time, so don't jump to conclusions. And there'll be a lot of fighting between different leaders to rule the Ummah. Then a man from Medina, who is family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who has the name, who has the features, people will start saying, "You are the Mahdi." And he will run away. He doesn't want to be the Mahdi. He will run, he will leave Medina and he will come to Makkah. And in Makkah, the people of Makkah will take him out against his will. And they will sit him at the Kaaba and they will give him the pledge of allegiance by force. They will say, "We take you as our Khalifa. We need a Khalifa, we'll make you the Khalifa." When this occurs, an army from Syria will be sent to stop Imam Mahdi. They will send this army to Makkah. And before they get to Makkah, this entire army will be swallowed by the earth. Then when that occurs, an army with black flags from Afghanistan will be raised and they will march and Imam Mahdi will be their leader. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when you see this army of black flags arising, being led by Imam Mahdi, that is when it's compulsory on every Muslim male to join that army. Even if you must crawl to that army on ice. Because this is the army of the Mahdi. What can we learn from these things? Number one, as I said, conflict in Syria and Iraq. But we don't jump to conclusions, although we do think that, subhanAllah, this is where the fight is currently happening. In fact, even the Bible, it says that when Damascus is in ruins, the end of times is near. Even the Bible has a prophecy like this. As we said, that he will rule, he will take charge of an army with black flags. Now, automatically we think, oh, ISIS has black flags. The Taliban has black flags. Orlando Pirates have black flags. Everyone that claims to be the Mahdi and the supporters of the Mahdi have black flags. Don't read too much into this again. Don't reach too much into this again. Everyone takes snippets of these prophecies and they said we apply it to us. That is why we've had so many false Mahdis. Many, many false Mahdis. And one important point here is that Imam Mahdi doesn't want to be Imam Mahdi. He doesn't want leadership. The Muslim Ummah, the Sahaba, against their will, they took leadership positions. They didn't want it. They didn't fight for leadership positions. They were forced in their hands. We need somebody, you take it. Khalid ibn Walid, Saifullah, he didn't want to be the leader. They said, you are the man, you take it. We're going to be, you know, defeated. And he took it reluctantly. Imam Mahdi will be the same. So Imam Mahdi, eventually he'll be forced into the position of Imamat, and that the Ummah will now, he will have his army of black flags, and then from Mecca he will move and he will start fixing the problems in Iraq and Syria, and he will move to Jerusalem. As he reaches Jerusalem, or as the fighting occurs in Syria, the news arises of the first major sign of Qiyamah will appear. The first major sign of Qiyamah being Dajjal. Dajjal will appear in the life of Imam Mahdi. So just as the Ummah is starting to fix itself, just as Imam Mahdi is starting to revive the Ummah, that the Muslims are starting to regain momentum in Palestine, in Iraq, and in Syria, in Afghanistan, in Mecca, Medina, moving towards Jerusalem, moving towards Palestine, Dajjal will appear. Dajjal will be released. And there's another lecture about the 10 signs of Qiyamah. We can do that again another time. But who is Dajjal? Dajjal refers to, it's a title as well, his name is not Dajjal, it refers to extreme deception or fraud. He will use false tricks and false miracles to deceive mankind. He's of course also certain signs about him, that there's some problem in one of his eyes will have a defect, and he is of course the Antichrist that is believed by Muslims and Jews and Christians, that he is the opposite of Nabi Isa. Why is he called Al-Masih Al-Dajjal, the false Messiah? Interesting point here. The Muslims are waiting for a Mahdi and a Messiah. The Shia are very much waiting for a Mahdi. The Christians are waiting for a Messiah. The Jews are waiting for a Messiah. When they see a man coming that performs miracles and resurrects the dead, which Dajjal will do, and he will bring rain and withhold rain, everyone believes this is the Messiah we are waiting for. Everybody is waiting for a Messiah. What more Dajjal will say do you want? I can split the sea. I can bring the rain. I can heal every disease you want. I fix the problems of the world. All I want from you is to worship me. Say I am Allah. And people will say he's Allah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, everyone, if you face him, you cannot defeat him. Nobody can withstand him, even Imam Mahdi. The only protection, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, recite Suratul Kaf and run away from him. Suratul Kaf, what did the children of Suratul Kaf do? They ran to the cave. They hid away in the mountain. Do that, because your iman will not withstand Dajjal's trickery. He will test your iman to such an extent. He will tell you, if I bring your mother and father back from the grave, would you believe me? And he will bring two jinn that will appear like your mother and father, and they will say, my son, this is your Rabb, worship him. And people worship him. He will come to Medina, and a shaheed from amongst the shuhada will have the courage to stand up against him, and he will say, I say you are the false Masih, you are the Dajjal. And Dajjal will say to the people, if I chop this man up in half and then bring him back to life with your eyes, will you not then believe I'm Allah? And the people say, yes, if you do that, halas, you must be Allah. And he will cut this man in half and walk between the two halves, and then he'll bring this man back to life. And the people will say, now you are Allah. And that man will say, now I'm convinced you are Dajjal, because even the Anbiya didn't do stuff like this. And he will try to enter Medina, but he will not be able to. Interesting point here. In the hadith, Dajjal says to his people, look at that white palace. That is the Masjid of Ahmad. Time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it didn't look like a white palace. What does it look like now? Like a white palace. Again, we're not jumping to conclusions, but things we need to be aware of. So Dajjal will come and he will undo all the good work of Imam Mahdi, and he will rule the world. And there's many hadith that for 40 days, one being like a year, one being like a month, one being like, what does this mean, ya Allah? Will the sun stand still? Allah knows best. But subhanallah, as I say many times again, look at the question the Sahaba ask. We ask, how is this possible mathematically? What question did Sahaba ask when they heard this thing? Ya Rasulullah, when that day is like a year, would it be sufficient to make 5 salahs, or must we make a salah for every calculated day? A mind was salah is what's important, not Dajjal. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi says you calculate. So now we know if you live in an extreme location, 6 months of summer, 6 months of day, you calculate your days based on this hadith. So Dajjal will come and no one will withstand him. In fact, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua every salah, "Oh Allah, protect me from the fitna of the punishment of the grave, the fitna of life and death, the fitna of Jahannam, and the extreme fitna of Masih al-Dajjal." His test and trial will be the most difficult trial ever. No iman has ever withstood a test like Dajjal. Nobody will. Your iman will not be intact if you meet him. He will show you exactly what you want, exactly what you want to see, give you whatever you want. You'll be on your deathbed and say, "I'll give you another 100 years of life." And he will convince you. Therefore, Nabi Sallam's advice is when Dajjal comes, runs away. The only one that can withstand him, the only one who can defeat him, is the true Masih, the true Messiah. And after Dajjal spends his time on earth and does what he's supposed to do, then an Imam Mahdi will be defeated and try to beat Dajjal. Then they will, the army of Imam Mahdi will be camped in Syria. Again, everything is happening in Syria. So the hadith mentions Imam Mahdi will be standing at the grand mosque in Syria. Hadith mentioned before Syria was a Muslim country. Just put that into perspective. This Nabi Sallam said this hadith before Syria was a Muslim country. He said Imam Mahdi will be standing and making salah at the grand mosque in Damascus, and the adhan of Fajr will be given, and Imam Mahdi will go forward to lead the salah, and the people will point up and they will see a man coming down, beautiful looking, and it'll be as if though he's sweating, and his face will be, he'll be fair of complexion, and he'll be like as if though he's red. You know, fair people, when they're in the under extremes, they go red. He will look like this, and the sweat will be dripping from his forehead. And on either side will be two angels. And when he comes down, it will be Nabi Isa, the Messiah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the coming of Nabi Isa in the Quran. Dajjal not mentioned in the Quran. Imam Mahdi not mentioned in the Quran. But the coming of Nabi Isa is mentioned in the Quran when Allah says about Nabi Isa, وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ. And indeed he, Nabi Isa, shall be a known sign for the hour. He is a sign of Qiyamah. And then he will come down at the white Manarat, at the grand mosque in Damascus, and he will take leadership of the army after Imam Mahdi. He'll be in charge of the leadership of the army, and there in Damascus the army will now rally and they will face Dajjal. They will come and they will chase Dajjal at a specific place in Palestine. When Dajjal hears that Nabi Isa has come, he'll try to escape because he can't beat Nabi Isa, and then Nabi Isa will hunt him down and Nabi Isa will basically execute him. And after Dajjal leaves, Nabi Isa will now rule the Ummah for 40 years, and he will bring back the most prosperous time in the life of this dunya will be those 40 years under Nabi Isa's rule. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send Ya'juj and Ma'juj, which even Nabi Isa cannot fight, and so forth until Qiyamah prevails. But getting back to Imam Mahdi, as I said, this is not a lecture about Qiyamah, it is a lecture about Imam Mahdi. And unfortunately, time is already against us. We'll have to complete next week. But what do we say about Imam Mahdi? As I said, we take the middle route once again between extremisms. You have two extremes in Imam Mahdi. One extreme elevates him to the point where Ya'adhu Billah, he's like Allah. He knows the unseen, like the Shia, that he believe that he's alive for over 1,200 years, that because of his existence, the heavens and the earth stand in balance, that he communicates with certain selected people, that he decrees things. This belongs, subhanAllah, only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam controlled the sun and the moon. We know that beautiful hadith when there was an eclipse. And Nabi Sallam said, the eclipse doesn't occur for anything we do on the dunya. This is of the commands of Allah. Nothing we do on earth decrees what happens to the sun and the moon. And then we have the other extreme and say the Mahdi is basically fables. It's something that we have made up. We are looking for a savior. We don't want to deal with our problems. No, there's definitely a man who is going to come towards the end of time and he will lead us. So the correct view of the Imam Mahdi is that, as we said, he is a man, an ordinary man, but will be from the lineage of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He will be endowed with guidance. How? He will be five times a day in the masjid. He will be Hafidhul Quran. He will be an alim. He will practice Islam, not a new Islam or something, or teach us something we don't know, but he will practice and put into place the Islam that is already there in the Quran. And then he will be a force of unity. He'll bring through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through him, will bring the hearts of the believers together, and he will start to fix the problems. This is our belief. But rather, we don't believe that he's a miracle worker. And I end off with this point. We'll talk about false Mahdis that occurred. A number of false Mahdis came throughout history. We'll talk about them next week, inshallah. But one point I want to stress once again. That anyone who follows and looks for miracles, and looks for saviors through miracles and powers and abilities, this is the same way Dajjal will win. This is the trickery of Dajjal. Imam Mahdi won't have these miracles. He doesn't even mention that Nabi Isa will have these miracles again. Dajjal will have those miracles. When you find somebody that has special supernatural powers, know that this usually is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe the awliya have some form of karama, but very mild, nothing to the extremes that we see people walking through fire, people stabbing themselves and coming to life, people that know the unknown, unbelievable things. This is all through the work of jinn and iblis. This is the power of Dajjal. So whoever worships miracles, whose deen is based on miracles rather than Quran and Sunnah, that's the pathway of fitna of Dajjal. Insha'Allah, may Allah protect us and safeguard us. We'll continue next week about the false Mahdis and the belief of the Shia with regards to the Mahdi versus our belief. Insha'Allah, we continue some of the false Mahdis that occurred and that brought great fitna. Today we still suffer from many of the mischief that these people have caused. The Ahmadis, the Baha'is, another man that besieged the Haram. So insha'Allah, next week we will continue. Inshallah, bismillah. We just make a few announcements, inshallah, that on this Sunday, the 17th, from 10 o'clock the morning until 4 o'clock the afternoon, there is a program at the Tanabaru Remembrance Day. It's 130 years anniversary, mashallah, 130 year anniversary of the oldest Muslim burial, I think, in South Africa. So obviously great many pious people buried there, just to understand who they were, what the contributions they did. We ask Allah to put barakah and nur in their qubur. May Allah elevate them for the sacrifices they made for the deen, and may we follow in their example in terms of knowledge. Also our class, there's my email address if you'd like the slide. So, if you have any comments, our seerah classes has not yet started. We will, inshallah, begin, you know, in the new month, in February, inshallah, or earlier than that. Also, Scottish Kloof Maulid Jamaah, Khairatul Khisan, I believe, they will be having a program this Sunday as well at the Civic at 10 o'clock. Everybody is welcome. Sheikh Ahmed Sadiq and Sheikh Dawood Blanche will be guest speakers at the event. So, please, inshallah, please attend. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu Akbar. And the brothers, please move forward, please, and just fill the gaps.